The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to this week's Soap Opera Digest. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Pete Peek, reading today from the March 31st, 2025 issue of Soap Opera Digest to keep you up to date on all of your favorite characters and soap opera news. Today's first article, The Tune-In Alert, General Hospital Spoilers, How's My Dad? By Diane Brunstein. A time to celebrate. The action in this General Hospital Spoilers preview for the week of March 31st opens with a special occasion. Tracy Quartermain is looking at the wall honoring those who have made their major contributions to GH, including her father, Edward Quartermain, and former Chief of Staff Steve Hardy, as we hear her say, "It's General Hospital's anniversary. Indeed, the show celebrates its 62nd year on the air April the 1st. The significance of the milestone is carried through by patient advocate Felicia Scorpio, who is walking near the nurse's hub with Carly Spencer and her daughter, Donna Corinthos. And I have a feeling it's just getting started," says Felicia, as images of a worried Alexis Davis and almost teary Jason Morgan, a stunned Anna Devane, and a smiling Sunny Corinthos are shown. Complete chaos. EMTs are at the scene of a bad car accident, and a man is being strapped to a gurney. It's Rick Schlansing. We hear Christina Corinthos Davis say, "I don't understand. I mean, that was supposed to be Ava." But is she saying that to herself, or does someone know she's the reason that the accident occurred? She looks a little horrified as she sees her sister Molly Lansing Davis's father was the actual victim of her attempt to exact revenge on Ava Jerome. But it doesn't look like he was the only victim. Running like his life depends on it, towards the scene is a panicked Luck Spencer. He's screaming for Elizabeth Weber as cops try to stop him from reaching the scene. At the hospital, Lucas Jones has an unenviable task of updating Rick's daughter about her father's condition. "How's my dad?" asks Molly. It hasn't been that long since Alexis's daughter lost her own baby and her older sister, a fact that isn't lost on Lucas, since Sam was his sister too. "Why don't we go sit down?" suggests Lucas. This, of course, instantly has Molly on edge as she prepares for the worst. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, the young and restless spoilers, I Need You to Betray Your Husband, by Diane Brunstein. Direct questioning, the action in this young and restless spoilers preview for the week of March the 31st begins with Lily confronting Damien. He seems taken with her and has asked her out to dinner a few times. Plus, he's listened to her when she's advised he reconcile with his mother. But Lily is tired of the games she feels he's playing and says, "I want to know what the hell you and your boss, Aristotle Dumas, are really up to. Will Damien's clear romantic interest in Lily prompt him to come clean with her about what is really going on with him and Aristotle?" Tough talk. Sally and Chloe have certainly had their ups and downs, but Chloe knows how determined Sally can be when she sets her mind on something. That's why it's surprising to her to hear her friend talk about another woman's influence on her relationship. When the two talk about what's been happening with Billy, Chloe tells her, "Maybe you need to take a page out of your own devious playbook and get Phyllis out of Billy's orbit for good." Will Sally do as she suggests? A huge ask. Lauren and Nikki have grown closer over the years. Lauren is the one Nikki turned to for help when she had fallen off the wagon and was scared to admit her slide back into alcohol consumption to anyone. The two are talking at society when Lauren shocks her friend with a request. "Victor is the reason that I ask you to meet me," Nikki says. "I need you to betray your husband." Laura says this to Nikki, and what is that Lauren wants Nikki to do on the Victor front? And how will Nikki respond? See it all for yourself. in the preview videos. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert for Days of Our Lives, Surprise, Reveal, Return, and Revenge by Diane Brunstein. A surprise request, the action in this Days of Our Lives spoilers video preview for the week of March the 31st opens at the Black residence where Belle opens the door to an unexpected visitor. Jada, what can I do for you? Asks Belle, who doesn't look thrilled to see her as she crosses her arms. I want you to help me nail E.J. DeMera, says the recently reinstated police commissioner. A reveal at the Salem Police Department, partners J.J. and Sean are talking. Jada doesn't deserve any of this, remarks an impassioned Sean. She's got a huge heart. I just want her to be happy, he adds, and J.J. looks at him and says, Sean, do you have any feelings for Jada? As J.J. asks that, shots of Sean looking longingly at Jada flash across the screen. Return of a villain? Orpheus says Marlena, obviously not happy to see the man who has made her and John's lives miserable time and time again over the decades. Hello, Marlena. Been a while, he states, showing that he's holding a gun. Marlena watches him carefully, unsure what to do next. Someone gets revenge. EJ gets shot. And as his sister Kristen says, the number of people in this town with a reason to take a shot at EJ can fill Horton Town Square. Images of several suspects are shown, including Kate handling a gun, Johnny getting his hands on a weapon, Ava putting one in her bag, Roman removing his gun from a locked box, and Kristen brandishing one herself. Who knows what we're capable of, muses Gabby. Another viable suspect who has threatened EJ recently. See it all for yourself. Check it out in the promo videos. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, The Bold and Beautiful, You Effectively Unleashed a Maniac by Diane Brunstein. Words of warning. The action in this Bold and Beautiful spoilers preview for the week of March the 31st begins with a shirtless Finn drying off with a towel. Once wearing a shirt, Finn talks with his wife as she lays down the law to him about his newfound daughter. Luna can't be anywhere near us or our children, says Steffi, as a pained-looking Finn takes in what she has to say. It's understandable that Stephanie feels this way. Luna held her against her will in a cage and seemed perfectly willing to kill her if Finn hadn't come to Steffi's rescue. She probably also recalls how Finn had a soft spot for his biological mother, Sheila, and she almost killed them both. A son's wrath. Over at Dollar Bill's mansion, his son has some harsh words about Bill's latest actions. You effectively unleashed the maniac, rails Liam, as the nonplussed Bill looks at him. On the subject of Luna, Steffi and Liam are once again in lockstep. Neither of them wants Finn's new daughter anywhere near the family. Women to women. Now it's Electra's turn to join the Luna bashing, but she's going directly to the woman herself to say what she has to say. Will must have told his girlfriend that his father's former houseguest flirted with him and offered to be his plaything. Electra confronts her new rival for Will's affection with a forceful declaration. I'm warning you to never come near Will or me again, says the forester heiress, right before she gives Luna a shove on the shoulder. Luna does a slow turn back, and if looks could kill, Electra would be joining Tom and Hollis for sure. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, Beyond the Gates, We Can't Let Him Pull That Trigger, by Diane Brunstein. Tension rises. The action in the Beyond the Gates spoilers preview video for the week of March the 31st opens with some type of emergency at Bill's law firm. Naomi is there, not wasting a second. I'm calling 911, she tells her father. Bill doesn't seem to have much of a reaction to her saying that. What's going on? It looks like Haley refuses to give up on her quest to get Naomi to drop the sexual harassment case against her father's firm, Bill's firm. Naomi wants the women to get justice, and just because no one sexually harassed Haley there, it doesn't mean other women didn't experience it. "You really want to help?" asks Naomi. Haley looks sincere as she reaches across the table, taking Naomi's hands in hers, and says, "I do." Naomi leans in and says, "Stay the hell away." On the case, Jacob refuses to let things go with Joey Armstrong, regardless of what his partner says. But he is shocked when he spots his partner, Detective Marcel Malone, with Joey. "Yes, Pops, I know what I saw," he tells his father, Elon, who is also his boss. "A decorated detective was receiving cash from a suspected criminal," shares Jacob. His father is not happy about what he hears. "This goes no further. We got to keep this quiet, okay?" asks Elon. Has hell frozen over? Haley is home, but her husband is not. Where's Bill now? She asks herself, but she would never guess the answer. He's over at Danny's, and his ex-wife is all smiles as she looks at him. As the two of them are shown looking cozy, Haley can be heard saying, "I insist you tell me where my husband is." Over at the Duprees, Anita is upset. "That man has too much power," she tells her husband. Vernon responds, "We can't let him pull that trigger, Anita." Check it out for yourself in the promo video. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, breaking news. Days of Our Lives executive producer exits. Noel Maxim named as the showrunner. By Mara Levinsky. There are yet more backstage changes afoot at Days of Our Lives. The show's co-executive producer, Janet Drunker, has announced her imminent retirement, with her last day with the show slated for May the 2nd, 2025. Days of Our Lives has named Noel Maxim, who currently serves as senior producer, to succeed her, saying in a press release from Maxim's, "will seamlessly step in the co-executive producer role." Drucker assumed the role of co-executive producer back in 2023, receiving a promotion from her long-held role of coordinating producer when the show parted ways with co-executive producer Albert Allar, who had been accused of improper on-set conduct, sparking a behind-the-scenes investigation and later a lawsuit filed by former Days of Our Lives star Arianne Zucker. At the start of her career at Days over four decades ago, Drucker served as a production associate, and over the years, she had been part of a production team that earned three Daytime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Daytime Drama. Drucker is only the fourth woman to hold the co-executive producer title in the show's history. "It has been an honor and the pleasure of a lifetime to make my mark in Salem over the past 41 years," Drucker said in a statement. "I will forever consider this show and everyone involved my second home, but it is time for me to focus on my family." Maxim, himself the recipient of multiple Daytime Emmy Awards for his work as director, was originally a writer on As the World Turns, then a producer-director at The Young and Restless, and in 2008 he first joined the Days of Our Lives team and previously served as the show's co-executive producer from 2011 to 2012. Said executive producer Ken Corday in a statement, "Janet began her career with us as a production associate and steadily rose through the ranks, becoming an integral part of our leadership team. She has been a guiding presence behind the scenes, and her positive influence has left a lasting legacy. We thank her deeply for her dedication, talent, and heart." Corday went on to voice his confidence in Maxim, noting, "Noel brings with him an exceptional blend of creative vision, technical expertise, and leadership experience. His deep understanding of the genre and steady hand behind the scenes make him the ideal choice to help lead us forward." Last July, the show made another key behind-the-scenes change, replacing its head writer, Ron Caravalli, with the team of Paula Quickly and Jean Marie Ford. Because of Days of Our Lives' advanced shooting schedule, their material has yet to hit the airwaves, but it will in the near future. In our next story today, the new couple alert. Days of Our Lives' Greg Vaughn is dating Shayna Mokler. Daytime Emmy-winning Days of Our Lives favorite Greg Vaughn, who plays Eric, ex-Lucky at General Hospital, has seemingly gone Instagram official with his new romance, paying loving tribute to Shayna Mokler on the occasion of her 50th birthday. Love lines, in his post, Vaughn shared two cozy shots of himself with Mokler and wrote, "The human heart has potential for deep contentment, joy, and confidence. Some stories don't fade with time. They wait for the right moment to be found again." Happy birthday! Mokler then shared Vaughn's post to her Instagram stories, writing, "My heart," and commented on the original ode with a trio of emojis. Several of Vaughn's soap castmates commented on his post as well. Natalia Livingston, the ex-Emily from General Hospital, the ex-Taylor from Days of Our Lives, wrote, "So happy for you, dear friend. You deserve all good things." Robert Scott Wilson, who played Alex in Days of Our Lives, chimed in with, "Champs." Martha Madison, who played Bells in Days of Our Lives, and Paul Telfer, who plays Xander in Days of Our Lives, were among those who liked the post. Vaughn married model actress Turiya Howood in 2006, and they announced their separation 8 years later. During their union, the couple welcomed three sons, Jathan, Kaven, and Landon, and in 2019, Vaughn announced his engagement to actress Angie Harmon. The couple split in 2021. Like Vaughn, Mokler has been in the public eye for decades. In 1995, she won the Miss New York USA pageant and went on to place as first runner-up at Miss USA in 1995. When the crowned Miss USA won the Miss Universe pageant, the Miss USA crown went to Mokler. Mokler began acting as well, making her television debut on Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, in 1996. By 1998, she was starring on the USA Network's Pacific Blue. Her film credits include The Wedding Singer and The Big Mama's House 2. After being linked to rocker Billy Idol, she got engaged to boxer Oscar De La Hoya, and though the couple split, they share a daughter. In 2004, Mokler went Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker, with whom she shares son Landon and daughter Alabama. The pair started in the reality TV series Meet the Barkers in 2005 and divorced in 2008. Mokler has had a prolific career in reality television, outside of Meet the Barkers, appearing on a range of series including Search Party, Punked, Dancing with the Stars, Hollywood Execs, and Celebrity Big Brother. Mokler is a longtime friend of fellow DWTS alumni Kelly Monaco from ex-Sam at General Hospital, who has also been a real-life chum of Vaughn's for many years, predating their stint as love interests on General Hospital, when he played Lucky to her Sam. Mokler and Monaco, who also share a connection to Playboy, Mokler was Miss December in 2001, and Monaco was Playmate of the Month in April of 1997, recently announced that they are soon to be launching a new podcast called Bad Bunnies. On Instagram, they wrote, "We're bringing you Hollywood secrets, wild stories, pop culture tea, and real talk. Nothing is off limits." In our next story today from the opinion column, Chelsea and Adam. Should this young and restless duo really be together? By Janet DeLauro. From the moment Chelsea and Adam fell into bed together last July, fueled by bourbon and their overwhelming concern for their struggling son, Connor, the writing seemed to be on the wall that a reconciliation was in store for this once prominent young and restless couple. it's now clear that the show's scribes have committed to going there with Shaddam. But is the storyline yay or nay? Adam and Chelsea reboot. Adam and Chelsea have been in one another's romantic orbits for well over a decade now, with their last stab at domestic bliss blowing up in 2021. They both moved on, but the duo's night of passion in Baltimore reignited a spark that had been dormant for years. Although they initially resisted acknowledging that there was any significance to the tryst and promptly returned to their then significant others, Chelsea and Adam were forced to face facts and feelings once Billy and Sally learned the truth. Adam was the first to admit to his lingering feelings, admitting to Sally that he still had love for his ex. He even broached the subject of another chance with Chelsea, but she shot him down, not yet ready to consider it. However, once Victor encouraged the couple to move on to the Newman Ranch with Connor for the sake of their family, it wasn't long before the former lovers were once again hitting the sheets. It's likely that Adam and Chelsea diehards have found a lot to like in how the characters have been brought back together. There is a sweetness to Adam's efforts to prove himself to Chelsea. He's worked hard to become a better man and has been gentlemanly in his pursuit, giving Chelsea the time and space she needs and wooing her gently. His sensitive approach is a refreshing change from the more hard-driving Adam of yore, and certainly a far cry from the version of Adam who, say, stole a baby from Sharon, then had to try to cover it up to hang on to her. Cooking a special dinner for Chelsea proved to be the perfect means to getting the cautious Chelsea to open up to the realization that she still harbored feelings for Adam, and that perhaps there could be a future for the two of them. She returned the favor and prepared a meal for him, after which the twosome fell back into bed and began re-examining where they go from here. The new Chelsea and Adam are real and raw. They're honest about their emotions and vulnerable with each other. Should they commit to giving things another go as a bona fide couple, there's a great sense it could actually work. They seem stronger individually this time around. They've both matured and changed for the better. Plus, the thought of Connor having his family intact gives them more rooting value. However, whether these characters going another round of romance is really in the best interest of the show remains questionable. The million-dollar question is, were viewers really clamoring for the pair's reunion? Chelsea and Adam have been apart for years. They'd settled into being good friends and co-parents who were committed to creating a warm, nurturing environment for Connor, who suffers from obsessive-compulsive disorder. While Chelsea's romance with Billy was problematic for many reasons, if you know, you know, but Adam's pairing with Sally was a hit. The fact that he was popular in a romance with another woman suggests that viewers don't necessarily view Adam and Chelsea as a destiny duo. This duo has already endured many breakups and makeups over the years. Do they even have enough future story potential to justify going there again? Or will them getting together again just lead to more of the same old? Namely, the domineering Victor inserting himself into Chelsea and Adam's lives and creating the usual storm waves, or Adam reverting to his old manipulative ways, infuriating Chelsea, who has bought into his professions of being a changed man in the past, only to be disappointed time and time again. It's also getting tiresome watching Adam's rivalry with Billy constantly creating stress for the couple as the two adversaries continually butt heads, but that isn't showing signs of letting up. Aside from the fact that Billy has moved on with his ex, Sally, which clearly irks Adam, he's also convinced his nemesis is gearing up to launch an attack on the Newman Media and can't resist needling him about it. It's all bound to weigh on Chelsea, who genuinely likes Billy and just wants to move forward. But will she ever be able to if the two men continue butting heads? And won't she start seriously wondering if Adam's lingering affection for Sally is playing a big part in his animosity toward Billy? Yet, the Sally and Billy factors pale in comparison to the likelihood that Adam's domineering dad, Victor, is bound to play a huge role in the ultimate fate of Chelsea and Adam's rebooted relationship. Right now, he's Team Chelsea and totally supports their reunion. But that can change at any moment. And thriving, let alone surviving, as a united couple, if Victor decides to turn on them, could be impossible. Are you glad that The Young and Restless is giving Adam and Chelsea another shot at a happily ever after? Or do you think this relationship to be retired once and for all? Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our final story today, the latest, Beth Maitland on Tracy's doomed young and restless romance. I was absolutely not surprised, by Janet DeLauro. What a difference a few months make. Last year, when The Young and Restless's Tracy Abbott fell in love with Alan Arendt, the romantic happiness that had so long eluded her finally seemed within reach, so much so that the Digest named the duo as 2024's best new couple. Nowadays, though, it's just a matter of time before poor Tracy puts together the pieces and realizes that her fiancé Alan is the mastermind behind Phyllis and Sharon's kidnapping. This is sure to come as a shock to Tracy, but her portrayer, Beth Maitland, admitted in a new interview that she's been anticipating an implosion in her character's picture-perfect relationship from the moment it started. "I was absolutely not surprised," Maitland told TV Insider. "I mean, you can't be happy on daytime very long, or if you are, you're relegated to go upstairs to wash your hair and never come back." She will survive. Yes, despite the fact that her character's dream relationship is about to take a nosedive, Maitland voiced her confidence that Tracy will be fine. The good news is that we start from the perspective that Tracy already has a life she loves, noted Maitland. She has people that matter to her, she has purpose, and she has a career that she also loves. Of course, the many loyal Tracy fans in the audience are bracing themselves to see that the beloved character's heartbreak once again. Maitland conceded this point, telling the outlet, "There's a huge fan base of women of a certain age and people who have watched Tracy go through all of her four decades of pain that want her to be happy and were disappointing those people somewhat." For Maitland, it wasn't hard to find the silver lining in the scenario, which is that the plot twist gave her something super juicy to play. "I long for something to do," the daytime Emmy winner admitted, adding, "Trust me, in the next couple of weeks, you'll see I make the most of it." As Tracy's suspicions about her lover mount, Maitland shared, "Tracy will be sent into crisis mode because not only is this late in life absolute surprise of happiness being completely yanked out from under her, it also indicates that there are threats that she feels responsible for, to both Sharon and Phyllis, and to her sister Ashley. Blaming herself for failing to see Alan's true colors just make Tracy all the more determined to put a stop to this and find out what the truth is," declared the actress. Maitland noted how grateful she was to play such an instrumental role in this front bumper plot. "It's definitely a generous story gift to Tracy to be able to be part of an unraveling all of this," she smiled. Thank you for joining me today for Soap Opera Digest. I'm Pete Peake for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.